This is the State of Things, broadcasting from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stachow. So what happens when a white male artist hires a black actress to be his surrogate so he can get into a diversity show? That's the question at the center of the play, White, based on a true incident from the 2014 Whitney Biennial. Bulldog Ensemble Theater is putting on a production of the play in Durham to add to the conversation about art and race in the Triangle. Jamaica Holloway Burrell is the director of White. She's a freelance director and artistic director of Black Ops, a theater company she founded in Durham. Also the founder and artistic director of Bull City Black Theater Festival. Welcome back, Jamaica. Good to have you here.
Thank you for having me, Frank.
Also with us is Monet Noel, I got Burrell right, but then Monet Noel Marshall, who is always a pleasure to have on the show. Co-star of White is a Durham-based artist, director, producer, creative consultant, also the co-founding artist and director of Mojoa Performing Arts Company. Welcome back, Monet.
Thank you, Frank.
Pleasure to have you. So, Jamaica, tell us more about the premise of this play.
Sure. So, White is about art. And all of the ways art intersects with identity, background, gender, race. And although this show takes place in the center of the art museum world, it really is a keen overview of the current state of our arts institutions and their relationships to bodies of color. And ways that bodies of color can be commodified or have been commodified and exploited for institutional gain, mm-hmm. personal gain, feminism, and modern and current pop culture.
Yeah, tell us, because this really is based on something that happened at the Whitney, right?
Yes, absolutely.
Tell us about
it. It's based on something that happened at the Whitney. Like you said, in 2014, there's this white man, Joe Scanlon, who hired three black women to, again, surrogate his art, portray this persona of Donnell Woodford, I think that was the name that they created. And again, in the same way that it happens in the play, Joe Scanlon is inconvenienced by a diversity initiative. And I think what we get a glimpse of is the extent people will go to not be excluded. People of color, we, you know, kind of experience exclusion on a day-to-day basis. So to see a white man grapple with it is very entertaining.
And this play is a comedy.
Yes, it is a comedy. It's raucous.
Monet, tell us, when you read this raucous script, what did you think about it?
It's funny, when Jamaica sent me the script months ago, I was so ready to tell her that I couldn't do it, but then I read the script and I was like, so when do rehearsals start? Because I really feel like this is a piece I need to be in.
Tell us about your character, Vanessa.
So Vanessa is an actress, a person, an artist that's trying to find her way in the world. And I think similar to what some of what Jamaica is saying around exclusion, you know, she experiences what so many black actresses experience, going into a rehearsal room and people asking, can you be blacker for me? Or, mm-hmm. you know, the roles are available, or someone that are stereotypes or not full expressions of people. Mm-hmm. So Vanessa is wanting to create a version of herself that feels full and human and gets drawn in.
Just to take a step away from the play, but to talk about that theory for a minute, or that phenomenon for a minute, you know, you're an actress of color, you go and you play these roles that have been written, but they're stereotypes. Now here's your problem. You mm-hmm. either reenact and re-embody the stereotype, mm-hmm. or you go jobless for a while, right?
Exactly. Yeah. You know, and I think, you know, so many folks self-produce work or do indie projects to find that. But if you're living in a big market, or even if not a huge market, if you want to work, if you don't want to self-produce, you want to do those shows, then you have to bite the bullet sometimes.
So, Jamaica, we talked about the premise of this plot and kind of the real life story that was the jumping off point. But tell us about the plot of White.
Yeah, so in White, we meet, you will meet Gus, who is a white gay artist who has had a relative amount of great success. Currently, we meet him. He's on a paid fellowship, so he has the year off to only paint. His best friend is Jane, who is the curator at the prestigious Parnell Museum, which, again, we can liken to something like the Whitney Museum, and she is in the process of curating a new exhibit in which she calls New Voices, which is, you know, ironic that these voices are called new. Okay. But anyway, so the new voices. And again, Gus is inconvenienced by this diversity initiative in which he sees himself on the outside of. And he goes and he hires Vanessa. And she's very hesitant at first. But the two of them in turn begin to start a collaboration on building this persona, who turns out to be the third character that Monet plays in the show, Balconet.
Which brings us to this point. There is an actual transformation that has to take place in your character. Talk more about that.
Yeah. So over time, you know, they start off this relationship that we're going to build her together. We're going to collaborate 100%. But Gus still has an idea of what a Black woman or a Black artist should be. So they have this struggle over Vanessa being an actual Black woman and knowing what a Black woman is, and this white gay male artist who is trying to make his statement and like use her body to do that.
Maybe I could ask you to do a scene for us now, or at least part of one.
Sure. So this is a scene from that transformation moment. Remember MySpace? I had a MySpace account in college. It was this totally created version of me. Pictures of me in wigs with sunglasses, quoting writers and emo songs. I wanted to not be me. Think that's a part of why I became an actor. I get to be everybody. Anyway, I had this account of this person I created. It was me, sort of, but it wasn't, you know? I used my own name and age, and it was a version of me, but it was truly an experiment in becoming someone else. I think Facebook came out not long after, but that MySpace page is still out there, still telling the universe that I'm really into French films and how much I cry when I found out Elliot Smith was dead. That version is there for anyone, like a fossil. One day, there'll be all of these versions of me floating on the wherever things like that go when you're done being that person.
That is Monet Noelle Marshall sharing a scene from the play White. I'm talking with her and director Jamaica Holloway-Burrell. White is going to be at the Durham Fruit and Produce Company until Sunday, June 9th, and you can find out more at our website, stateofthings.org. Man, that just raises so many fascinating questions about the intersection of art and identity and political identity, especially in America today. I mean, it's the job of artists and actresses, right, and actors to be somebody else, to portray a thing, to embody what is not you.
Mm-hmm.
On the other hand, if you're in the situation where other people are creating all of the roles and all of the ideas about your identity, that's not the same as playing a role. And it's fascinating to think about that in the context of that. Do those? I mean, that's what happens to me as the viewer, you know, of this thing, as the patron. But what about you as an actress as you bring yourself to that role?
You know, this role really hits me in my soft place because it's so much of my own struggle of trying to figure out as an artist how to tell the truth and not become propaganda. Yeah, right? Yeah. I'm trying to recognize that no matter what I say, I can bear it all. And my experience is not every Black woman's experience. It's not every queer Black woman's experience. It's not every American's experience. It's mine, right? And I think part of when identities are marginalized and we see a spot of a person here, or a person of color here, a person with disabilities here, a trans person here, and we don't get a fuller breath, then we want to assume that every experience is that experience. And then if those roles are written by folks who don't live that, it's only their interpretation and not a lived truth. And that's what we see in White.
But Jamaica, all of that, plus the fact that you're going to have an audience who are going to have all these subjective experiences and try to bring them together through some universal idea that they're going to recognize on that stage.
Mm-hmm.
And yet if those aren't grounded in a particular experience that's authentic, it's going to be not a very good play. How do you approach that as a director?
Yeah. So one of the things that made a lot of sense for me as I was casting this show was to cast Monet. If people in the Triangle are familiar with Monet, you may be familiar with her trilogy from last year, the Buy It, Call It trilogy, and where all of the themes that kind of show up in White were really present in this work. And it was important to me to have people in the room who were already on a consistent base practice in practice dissecting these types of conversations. I felt like I really wanted somebody in the room who was going to add more than just like their creative and skilled self, but who could actually bring some practicality and some true understanding to the role. So as a director, it just felt really important to me to find folks who already kind of had a center around these themes and these topics.
And Monet, this play, as we say, it's a comedy, it's a lot of fun all the way through, but it does raise a lot of questions, not necessarily pointing a finger, right? It's raising a lot of questions about what is art and what is identity. I mean, it seems to me more than just sort of accusing, you know, somebody of taking advantage or commodifying.
Yeah, it's definitely about question, because I think that's when art is most powerful, mm-hmm. when we all get to see our role in it, the ways that we are impacted and the ways that we are participating, and to leave that openness, because it is a system, and because of that we all are playing a part, you know, and some of us have different consequences because of that, our placement, our socioeconomic and political placement. And I think part of it, like, yes, I get to dig into three different, very different characters. I change clothes a lot. I wear lots of different wigs. I have a great time. And at the bottom of it all is dealing with topics that are so close to the things that I find most important. And to do it in theater and to be surrounded by people who are grappling in my community just feels really important.
Jamaica, in particular, how do issues of representation come up in White?
So one of the things that Vanessa, one of her lines is, I want people to see me. And I think so often in the American theater, as we've kind of discussed, Black people are placed on stage as kind of props, or as oftentimes like caricatures of themselves. So really kind of get into the deep meaning of what it means to want somebody to see you, to crave visibility, I think, in a more full and holistic way, feels exactly like something that somebody like Vanessa would be that's something that she would absolutely desire. So also one of the things that comes up is Tanner, who is the Asian American boyfriend of Gus, and Gus is also somebody who kind of is one of the lines that comes up is, what does Gus say, Monet, about steal a personality, I also wonder what you've stolen from me, and the different ways that we show up, that white folks oftentimes show up with people of color for shields so they don't have to deal with their own selves. You can say, oh, I have a Black friend, or I have an Asian American boyfriend, and that kind of lets you off the hook oftentimes for certain things. So I think like just the placement of the bodies of color in this show and how they live in relationship to Gus, really grapple with those themes of representation.
And multiple identities in here. You're talking about a gay white artist, and then, you know, people of other ethnicities, mm-hmm. all sort of working through here, working out their identities at various levels of privilege and in different situations. I mean, if you've been privileged by a diversity plan for a moment, that's a level of privilege, even though it's temporary and certainly very recent, that kind of thing. I just remember that this whole question of representation, too, is fascinating for me, particularly in this moment where we're seeing far more directors of color and actors mm-hmm. taking control of the productions. And what it means, because I remember talking with a collective of writers when I was in Nairobi. These were writers from all over the continent of Africa who got together. And one of the things that kept up coming up over and over again is, we're tired of having to write about post-colonialism, you know, right? We don't want to write about the horrors. Could we please write a love story? Could we be accepted as an African writer who's writing a story about trouble with their mother? You know, and that's really so that representation doesn't mean writing the same story over and over again. Are we at that moment where we're finally making the transition and we can say, look, there are many, many stories we can tell from these communities?
Yeah,
I think, too, you know, we've been telling these stories for a very, very, very long time. So it's not about the telling of the stories. I mean, that clip came out of the first black kiss on screen a few months ago. So there have been love stories forever. People were telling love stories on plantations, you know. The real thing is, like, what is being funded and what is being supported and what is being put in our main stages and what is being held up. Because you can sit on someone's porch and we're going to hear all types of stories. But what is held as, like, folklore or, like, that's what folks are doing, and what is held up as high art that is worth funding and support. I think that's really the conversation and the question.
And then also, who's at the helm of telling these stories? We were just talking about that. Like, what does it mean when we're talking about when there's a piece that's coming out and it's centered around, like, Rwandan genocide or something like that, and we've got somebody who is not a direct representative from that community telling those stories. How are people of color, how can we create more more representation and opportunities for folks inside of the sphere of storytelling? How can we put them at the lead of these moments? I think that so many stories have come out that have centered black lives but have not been told by black people, and the same thing goes for queer folks and for women. People are telling our stories, but those people don't often look like us. And I think a big question it raises for me is just how can we create more space for people to come in and inhabit more spaces of creative leadership?
What does that space look like right now? I'll start with you, Jamaica, in the Triangle and in North Carolina.
It's interesting. There are a lot of black creators who are out here, and we're self-producing our work and we're getting things done, because if we, you know, we were talking about this last week, but if we waited for institutions to support, sometimes it would never get done. I think I was really interested a few days ago. I went on the NC Theater website and noticed that their theater conference website and noticed that maybe there was one person of color on their board, and according to the website, and there was nobody on the staff who was black. And this is just according to the website. But just really interesting how we, you know, claim to be a North Carolina theater conference, but the leadership looks very little like the community of folks who are actually pushing the envelope and creating soul-stirring art in the Triangle. So it's just very interesting to me.
I think for me, we are self-producing, and at the same time, we're in this moment where white is sitting within a context of so many other black shows that are happening at the same time. Mm-hmm. So, like, Dance on Widow's Row just happened. We had Tristan Andre Parks at a piece. We have all these different folks who are creating work that is performative, like New Masculinities with Ed Brown and Daniel Coleman and Joey Louis Shakar. So there's so many folks who are making work right now, and I think part of it is, like, we can't wait. We're going to make it, and we're creating webs together, because Pamela Bond, who was in Dance on Widow's Row, is our costumer, you know, and my mother's in that show. And so we have all these connections among, like, black artists and black theater, and I feel like we're going to rise together.
Well, and particularly in an industry that is at least perceived as, and maybe perceives itself as, a somewhat more progressive industry and about progressive ideas with, theoretically, you know, more progressive people to have a that lack of representation, at least at the moment, it seems like it's a little bit of a paradox. Mm-hmm. But you're saying things might be on the threshold of change.
I think things are always changing, Frank.
Yes. Yes.
For the better.
For the better. Here we are.
You know me. I'm always looking on the bright side. You knew that you would not know me if you said that. Jamaica Holloway Burrell is the director, and Monet Noel Marshall is the co-star of the play White. It is going to be at the Durham Fruit and Produce Company until Sunday, June 9th. And you can find out more information at our website, stateofthings.org. Thank you both so much.
Thank you so much, Frank. Thank you.
Coming up, Latin jazz and marimba music. Juan Alamo, live on the State of Things. Stay tuned.